Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. Welcome to the series Message of the Quran. Today, inshallah, we will be covering the 29th juz. The series is brought to you by Helping Hand. Helping Hand has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They serve people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more, visit hhrd.org/qalam. So today, inshallah, as I mentioned, we'll be covering the 29th juz of the Quran. We start with Surah Mulk, a very beautiful surah. There are many narrations regarding the virtues of Surah Mulk. There are actually some narrations as well that have been narrated regarding the virtue of memorizing Surah Mulk. For example, in one riwayah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنَّهَا فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. That I wish that Surah Mulk was in the heart of every one of my followers. It's a small surah with 30 ayat. And it's a surah that if a person ever wishes to take on a task of trying to memorize the Quran or a portion of the Quran, Surah Mulk is a great place to start because it has 30 verses and the average month has 30 days. So you can challenge yourself by doing one ayah a day and memorize the entire surah. In one riwayah, as narrated by many of the Mufassirun, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a person goes into their grave, it is this this surah that will come to the protection of the one that is being lowered into the grave. When the malaika come to ask questions, Surah Mulk will come to defend that person. Wallahu alam bisawab. Some of the narrations, some of the chains for this particular narration are weaker than others. Now, when we open Surah Mulk, in the second ayah, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that the one who created death and life, so he may test you which of you has the best deeds. Now, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, the one with the best deeds. There is an interesting discussion among the Mufassirun. What is referred to by the statement, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا? Some scholars have proposed that أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, the best of deeds, are those deeds that are, number one, أَقْرَبْ إِلَى السُنَّةِ, the closest to the sunnah. So in Islam, we are very particular about doing things in accordance to the style and method, the preference of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيكم أحسن عملا. And the second is the deed that has the most ikhlas and most sincerity attached with it. Sometimes we do certain actions that are very sincere. We really mean them. We're very sincere from our heart. But unfortunately, it's not in line with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not in line with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's close to us, but it's far from the messenger of Allah's teaching. Therefore, it's not the best of deeds anymore. And sometimes a person may do something that's absolutely in line with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but unfortunately it has no ikhlas or sincerity in it. So then a person loses out again. Ahsan wa amala is a combination of both. Akhlasuhum wa aqrabuhum ila sunnah. The most mukhlis, sincere act, and the one that is closest to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We move forward to the next surah. The next surah is Suratul Qalam. This is one of my favorite surahs because in the opening part of Suratul Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the haters, the phobes, the Islamophobes specifically, people who had a lot of hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said all sorts of filthy things to them, he said Allah alayhi wa sallam. In the early days of Islam, according to many Mufassirun, Surah Al-Qalam was one of the earliest revelations, one of the first revelations. When the Quraysh saw the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were very much enraged and very angry, and they had a lot of misplaced anger and negativity towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They began to call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all sorts of foul names and all sorts of evil names, using playground bullying tactics. Among the things they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and regarding the Prophet of Allah was that Rajul al-Majnoon, he is a crazy man. So in Surah Qalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Noon wal qalam wa ma yasturun. Noon, we translate it as noon, huruf muqatta'at. It's something that isn't translated. We leave its knowledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal qalam wa ma yasturun, by the pen and what they inscribe, what they write. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. And with the grace of your Lord, with the favor of your Lord, you are not insane. They can say you're insane all day, because that's what they'll do. They'll say foul things. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And you will have a reward that is never ending with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A never ending reward with Allah azza wa jal. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And surely you are on an excellent standard of character. That people will say hateful things, don't give attention to the haters. Allah will reward you for your patience, and your good character is what will remain. Their words will dissolve. فَسَتُبُصِّرُ وَيُبُصِّرُونَ. Surely, very soon, you will see and they will see. See what? In the next ayah. بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ. Which one of you was afflicted? Maftun from fitna, to be afflicted. Afflicted by the madness that the Quraysh had accused Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of. Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dhalla an sabilihi wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. That indeed your Lord knows best who has strayed from his way and who is rightly guided. And the ayah then continue. I believe they're very beautiful because they give us an opportunity to see some of the hatred Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through that negativity and the hatred. We take a look at the next surah, Surah Haqqa. Surah Haqqa just has the most vivid description of the Day of Judgment. It's one of those surahs that honestly you should just sit down and read the translation of, because it starts off with such a powerful message. Even just the way the sentence is structured and the way the words are used, you can see that it comes with great might. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Haqqah, the inevitable hour, the inevitable reality, Al-Haqq, Al-Haqqah, Mal-Haqqah, Wa ma adraka mal-Haqqah. That what is this eminent reality that awaits every person? And then before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that, He tells us of some nations that decided to reject the Day of Judgment. كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ وَعَادٌ بِالْقَارِعَةِ. Two tribes in particular, قَوْمْ ثَمُودُ قَوْمْ عَادٌ. They were both giants, large people, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given abundance to. And rather than using what Allah gave them for obedience, they decided to use it for the sake of disobedience. They became arrogant. They rebelled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how they were destroyed. سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا حُسُومًا فَتَرَ الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَةً. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed upon them a punishment that lasted for 7 nights and 8 days. حُسُومًا. حُسُومًا can mean either استئصالًا, which means to uproot them. To uproot them. As, you know, in Arabic they refer to a sword as Husam because it cuts the enemy up. It's a common name among the Arabs. Husam. So Husuman. Or Husuman can mean mutatabia, continuous. That it started and just non-stop. They were hit again and again by the punishment of Allah. فَتَرَ الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَةً. Now you look at them and they are just lying. Sara'a is someone that's fallen. Musara'a is wrestling where two people fight against each other to pin the other to the ground. So Sara'a, those that have already fallen. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةً. As if they were the trunks of hollowed date trees. Ajaz refers to the trunks. Nakhal is a palm tree. And khawiya is something that's hollow and empty from within. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the question, فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةً. What remnants do you see? What remains? They have these big claims, all this arrogance. Where is it gone now? Show us. And there's nothing to show. They're gone. They rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla washed them out. Now the following verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Fir'aun. And then after talking about Fir'aun, the ayat go into the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically speaks of some people who will be given their book of deeds in their right hand, while others are given their book of deeds in their left hand. Receiving the book of deeds in the right hand is a manifestation of success in the hereafter. That this person has been protected. They've been safeguarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's punishment will not come upon them. And receiving the book of deeds in the left hand is the other message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being those other people with the other message. Being accountable on the day of judgment. May we be from His beloved people, His beloved servants, that we receive our book of deeds in our right hand, Yawm al-Qiyamah, inshallah. Now the ayat tell us what happens when a person receives his book of deeds in his right hand. What does he say? Ha umuqra'u kitabiya. Come here and read my book. You know, when the image that always comes to my mind when I read these ayat is like a soccer player. Who's just scored a goal in the World Cup tournament or something. Some big Champions League or some big Europa tournament. And because when you score a goal in that moment, you're representing so much and what you've accomplished is so great that it's common if you see the highlights or if you watch the match, the players after they score the goal, they're running around the stadium and they're jumping on each other and they're like just really pumped up. So the person who receives his book of deeds on the day of judgment, he'll take his book of deeds and run around so pumped. Ha umuqra'u kitabiya. Come here and read my book of deeds. Allah gave it to me in my right hand. I've passed. إني ظننت أني ملاق حسابي. I was sure that I would encounter my reckoning. فهو في عيشة راضية. So he will have a pleasant life. في جنة عالية. In an elevated garden. قطوفها دانية. Its fruits will be close to the hand. Dania means to lower itself down, to be close. Dunu. قطوفها دانية. That its fruits will be within reach. They will be hanging. When a person goes to Jannah, they won't have to even get a ladder to climb up to get the fruits. The fruits will just make their way down. When a person sees those fruits, they will want to be consumed by that servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were the obedient one, and I have been created for your pleasure. So enjoy Jannah, as Allah says in verse number 24. كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ It will be said, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا Eat and drink. هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ With pleasure. بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ Because as a reward for what you did, what you sent forth in the days that have gone by. Meaning in the world, you did so much to send your good deeds forward. Those good deeds are now here, and this is your agenda. Now, verse number 25 onwards of Surah Haqqat, the tone changes because the discussion takes a turn towards the other group of people, those who will receive their book of deeds in their left hand. Allahumma ihfazna. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. May Allah protect us from being from that group. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ As for the one who will be given his book of deeds in his left hand. فَيَقُولْ He will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَا If only I had never been given my book of deeds. يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَا All of the regret, all of the remorse will boil down to that one moment. That moment of, why did I disobey Allah? Why did I go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Shouldn't have done that. It was my mistake. Only if I was a little bit more patient in the world, today I would have been in a much better position. And this is unfortunately the common state of the human being, that we know what needs to be done, but we choose to do other things, and then when we are told to pay the price for bad choices, we say, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Man, I wish I hadn't. Very few people, my friends, know how to value time while they have it. Very few people. Most people only know how to cry when the opportunity is gone. As the Arabs say, النِّعْمَةُ إِذَا فُقِدَتْ عُرِفَتْ That when the bounty is lost, that's when people begin to appreciate it. When it's gone. النِّعْمَةُ إِذَا فُقِدَتْ When the bounty passes you and it's no longer available, urifat. That's when you begin to truly appreciate the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will say, Ya laytani lam uta kitabiya, only if I had never been given any book. Walam adri ma hisabiya, I had never known what my hisab is, what my accounting is. Ya laytaha kanat al-qadiya. Only if it, meaning death, only if it had been the end. Qadiya means the end of it all. I wish that death was just the end of my story and there was no reckoning and resurrection, Jannah and Jahannam. Ma aghna anni maliya. My wealth has come to be of no use to me. I thought so much of my wealth and that it was so powerful and it was protecting and it was so... It promised such great things. But today on the day of judgment, my wealth does not promise me anything. It can't give me anything. It's of no avail to me. هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ My power has gone away from me. My power has left me for good or has vanished, has destroyed me. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angels, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ That capture him, seize him, and shackle him. Put a collar on him. So the malaika will come and they will chain this person up. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمُ صَلُّوهُ. And then lead him to a fire that is burning and make him enter into it. Put him into it. Burn him in it. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمُ صَلُّوهُ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ. Thereafter, fasten him with a chain, the measure of which is 70 yards. Fudayl bin Ayyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that the greatest punishment of Allah to mankind, may Allah protect us, on the Day of Judgment will be for those who are given this verdict. Because just the fact that they realize that they disappointed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment, the pain, the regret, the remorse, the bitterness will be so heavy that in reality there's no punishment that will actually be as bad as this. That how did I manage to displease and anger the Rahman, the Rahim, the one who identifies himself as the merciful? How did I pull that off? In order to do that, you have to really go out of your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to us, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. The reason why this person is where they are, and the reason why they were dealt with in this manner, is because that person did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the great. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And he did not encourage, did not urge others to feed the poor. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. So here today he has no devoted friend, a true friend. وَلَا طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ. And he will not have to eat. There will be no food except for filth or dirt. غِسْلِينَ can refer to the pulse that comes out of a wound. That's a very... filthy and disgusting food that they will have to eat. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يأكله إلا الخاطئون. Only those who do wrong and sinners will eat it. And again we say, اللهم احفظنا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We move on to Surah Ma'arij. Now in Surah Ma'arij, there is this very interesting, right in the beginning, there is a very beautiful and interesting ayah. It's a small ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, فَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. Ayah number 5. فَصْبِرْ صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. And be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah azza wa jalla is speaking to the Prophet. Be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صَبْرًا جَمِيلًا. A gracious, a beautiful patience, as what befits you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there is a discussion, what is sabr jameel? Because we hear sabr all the time, that we should do sabr, be patient, be patient. What is sabr jameel though? So one of the most common expressions or descriptions, interpretations of sabr jameel that I found in the works of the Mufassirun is a sabr bila shikwa. They say a sabr bila shikwa, that being patient without complaining. So that raises the question, is there anything wrong with complaining? Did we not see Yaqub alayhi salam say, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُسْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that Yaqub alayhi salam says, I complain of my grief and my worries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then, what does that mean? That sabr jameel is sabr bila shikwa, patience without any complaint. And we see Yaqub alayhi salam doing shikwa himself when he's a prophet of Allah. So the answer to this is, الشكوى إلى الله جائز والشكوى عن الله تعالى غير جائز. That if a person complains to Allah, there's no problem in that. That's very normal. Like a child complains to the mother regarding some pain they're experiencing. But complaining عن الله about Allah, that's not okay. That, Ya Allah, you're the one to blame. You're the one who put me here. Ya Allah, because of you, I'm in this horrible situation. وَشِكْوَى عَنِ اللَّهِ غَيْرُ جَائِزٍ. That isn't jais. And that's where we need to remember that in moments of difficulty, how do you avoid complaining of Allah and learn to complain to Allah? You must first build a meaningful and strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must first build a meaningful and strong connection with Allah. So when you go through your challenge in life, you aren't all over the place. Rather, you have some focus and you're anchored. You don't wail off, fly off like a handkerchief that flies away from the hand of the sailor while they're in the middle of the blue oceans. The wind picks up, it takes the handkerchief and it tosses it somewhere. No one can save it. It's gone. But on the other hand, the sail of the boat is anchored. It's tied. So it's not going anywhere. The ship will have to break apart before that sail goes anywhere. It's not going to go. If it's tied properly, it not only will it not go anywhere, but it will take the boat with it. That's why you need a good crew to be there to manage this ship, specifically in times of storm. We take a look at the next surah in Surah An-Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, here it is. Ayah number 10 of Surah Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Here this is a conversation. The surah is called Surah Nuh. So it's Nuh alayhi salam speaking to his people, advising them. All of it's beautiful. It shows us the true struggle of Nuh alayhi salam and how he dealt with difficulty and how his people brushed him off, rejected him. Yet Nuh alayhi salam continued. And he said to them, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. So I said, اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ, pray to your Lord for your forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا, he is ever forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا, he will send rain for you from the heavens in abundance. Midrar means كثير, موافر, something in abundance. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نَهَرًا. He'll help you with riches and children, increase you in family. And he will give you gardens and he will give you rivers. Now when you look at all of this, you see that all these things that are promised, Allah will open up the heavens and the water will pour and Allah will increase you in wealth and Allah will give you water pouring from the heavens, is a it's a way of speaking when we speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving abundance of rizq to someone, giving someone barakah in their rizq. All of this, in barakah and rizq, increase in wealth, abundance of children, gardens, rivers, they're all the result of what? It's from that ayah number 10, istaghfiru rabbakum, repent to your Lord. This is why the ulama encourage that every day you should take out time to do istighfar and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on, we have Surah Jinn, and then after that we have Surah Al-Muzzammil, which teaches us some very beautiful lessons. We have the lesson of Qiyamul Layl, standing during the hours of the night. Obviously, Surah Muzzammil and Surah Mudathir are from the earliest of revelations. early surahs to be revealed. Some have claimed to be them to be the second, third revelations. Some claim they are third, fourth revelations. Wallahu alam. But in this we see that we are taught to stand during the hours of the night. And as the mashayikh and ulama, they say that those who wish for success during the day need to learn to stand in front of Allah during the night. May Allah give us tawfiq. Allahumma waffiqna lima tuhibbu wa tarda. You know, even outside Ramadan. In Ramadan we do it, but outside Ramadan try it too. On the weekend when you have some time off, if you don't have work the next day, maybe wake up for a few minutes, pray some rakat, go back to sleep. Even if you can't pray, let's say you wake up in the middle of the night, you're thirsty, or you just wake up to turn side, to change your posture. Quick dhikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah. Just say one alhamdulillah from your heart, go to sleep. It's a good place to start. As the poet says, Man lam ya'rif qadr al-layla lam ya'rif laylat al-qadr. The one who does not appreciate the value of the night throughout the year, meaning not tahajjud, he will not benefit from Laylatul Qadr. Because Laylatul Qadr is the crown of the nights. And those that have neglected the night, how will they appreciate what Laylatul Qadr has to offer? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who benefit from Laylatul Qadr and also from the nights. The surah after that is Surah Al-Muddathir. A lot of lessons here. One set of verses in Surah Muddathir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of a man by the name of Walid bin Mughira. He was one of the bullies, someone who always, stood against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he was confronted that, hey, why do you do this? And why do you stand against the Messenger of Allah? You know, don't you know he is a prophet? He would say silly things. Dharani wa man khalaqtu wahida, as Allah Azza wa Jalla calls him out and says that I was the one who created him, so leave him to me. Waja'altu lahu ma'lam mamduda, we gave him wealth in abundance, wa banina shuhuda, and children as witnesses. Wa mahattu lahu tamhida, thumma yatba'u anazida, kalla innahu kana li ayatina anida. See, Walid bin Mughira was interesting because he knew Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet. People asked him, is the prophet a poet? He said, no. Is he a magician? He said, no. Is he crazy? He said, no. But then later on they said, okay, if it's no to all of that, then what is he? So then Walid said, you know what, let's go with he's a magician. He contradicted himself out of arrogance because he felt that no one could do anything to him. And it's in these verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds him accountable. His son Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu accepts Islam, the great general. And he found reading Surah Muddathir very difficult because these verses were in damnation of his own father. He cried because the Quran openly condemned his father for his father's careless, abusive attitude towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, in the next surah, we have Surah Qiyamah. Again, there's so much to cover here. One of the descriptions in verse 22, I find to be very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, speaking of the Day of Judgment, as the name of the surah suggests, Qiyamah. وَجُوهٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٍ. There will be some faces on the Day of Judgment that will be glowing and shining. They'll be beautiful. Where is this beauty coming from? إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. They will be looking at their Lord. And from here we learn that on the Day of Judgment, the pious and righteous servants of Allah will be blessed by رُؤْيَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from them. The following surah is Suratul Insan. And in Suratul Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he shares some very beautiful lessons. And again, one of my favorite is the ayah number 8 and 9, because it speaks of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ, that they feed food even though they love it. They love food. It's not like it's extra food that they don't care for. They have love for it. They have need for it. يُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. To who? مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. To a poor person, to an orphan, and to a prisoner. people usually are willing to give to others if they have some confidence that the other person will be able to contribute back. That's why you give to wealthy people. But here, they are described as people who give to the poor, the orphan, and the prisoner, who you don't really expect much back from, which tells us that they're doing this purely for the sake of Allah, as the next ayah also suggests. And we're going to close off today by taking a quick look at Surah Al-Mursalat. In Surah Al-Mursalat, we see one particular ayah repeating itself again and again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps saying, فَوَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ Woe on that day to those who deny the truth. And according to some sahaba, they say, this was actually the last recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the last Maghrib Salah led by the Prophet of Allah, which coincidentally also was the last loud, audible prayer that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the companions in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being from the deniers and those who reject this beautiful message. And may He make us from those who learn from these lessons of the Quran. Once again, we thank our sponsors, Helping Hand, and also all of you for joining us today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these gatherings mubarak. Please, if you've benefited from these sessions throughout Ramadan, visit supportqalam.com and join us in our vision and our goals so we can continue to do what we're doing and deliver more of this, inshallah, and help it reach further and to more people. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.